Welcome to week 8 of a series we're calling Help Me, F-U. You are now enrolled in Forgiveness University, and it's my birthday, so I'm going to preach it how I feel it today. If you are looking for a nice, quiet, little cute word right now, that ain't happening today. I have a mandate from God to talk about forgiveness, and I want to be even more specific than that. And I need everybody in the room. I need your help today. I need y'all to be praying, because the enemy does not want me to deliver this message, because the truth in it will actually bring freedom to people's life. But today, come hell or high water, I'm gonna get this whole word out of me today. Are y'all with me today? I said, are y'all with me today? Okay, so the thing that I need you to know is that I have a mandate from God to talk about one of the things that's plaguing people in the area of forgiveness. And I wanna talk about forgiving fathers today. And I know some of y'all booties just got tight right then. I know some of y'all came in here very, very, very guarded and gated and very offended. And I understand all of that, and that's why we have to talk about this. That's why we have to go there with this message today. And I want to take it from a different perspective. I'm not here to bash men or bash bad fathers. So some of y'all are like, Pastor Mike on Saddam Strike today. Okay, hold on. We're talking about forgiveness. That's releasing somebody, letting somebody go. And I know for many of us, the men in our life, the fathers in our life, the grandfathers in our life, the father-like figures in our life have disappointed us, let us down, done good up to a certain point, but not really been there. Some of them provided for us, but they weren't there for us. All of these different things. And now we are a product of somebody else's decisions. Now we walk around with insecurities and confidence based on somebody else. Now we try to raise children and we were never properly parented. Ooh, y'all see how quiet it is in the building today. Because as we prepare for the holiday season and everybody getting ready to fake, you don't act like you got to pep talk yourself in the car before you go in. Oh, come on. Y'all know how you be like, just keep it together. Don't bring up that. Tell her she looks good in that. Tell him he's been great and just act like it and buy this expensive gift that you really don't have the money to pay for, but that's the only way that you can show them that you love them. And so walk in here. Y'all gonna act like that's not real? Because we won't deal with the real issues that are happening. And many of the forgiveness issues that we are dealing with stem back to the relationships with our fathers, or the lack of relationship with our fathers. And so today, I'm going to approach this topic. I'm telling you, I'm gonna approach this topic very delicately, but very directly. Because some of your lives have been jammed up by what you did not choose, but what has happened to you. And there's fathers watching right now that maybe feel condemned or guilty for not being able to be there. I'm gonna talk to everybody today. And you're trying to figure out, how can I do better with the time that I have left? But I've been put into this box. I'm talking to everybody, because God wants there to be forgiveness with fathers. But I think there is a lack of understanding of this concept of fathering. And that's what the enemy tries to use to be able to confuse people. But today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I feel God, he's helping me right now. I feel by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are going to have faith to forgive. Somebody just say that. Faith to forgive. Help me one more time say, faith to forgive. And that even includes your father. I want you to think about your father right now. And everybody doesn't have a bad father. I'm not saying that. But many people in our society today are struggling because the image of the father has been messed up. But what I need everybody to know is that we get these words in our society mixed up, because many fathers don't understand the impact, the influence, and the injury they can cause to people without even being aware of it. I'm gonna say it again. Many males who have the opportunity to be a father do not understand the impact, the influence, and the injury they can cause to humanity and not even be aware of it. Write my first point down. Father forgiveness is necessary for true freedom. Because I know some people are sitting there right now, I'm fine, Pastor Mike. I hate my daddy, I can't stand my daddy, I look like my daddy, but I don't, if he walked in this room right now, I wouldn't even care. I ain't got nothing to do with him. He can fall off the face of the earth for all I care. He wasn't there for me. I ain't gonna be there for them. And we go through all of these different things. We set up all these guards and mechanisms. But what I found out is that for us to fully be able to be free, that if you have an ought against anybody, but especially somebody who was supposed to be there in a way in your life and they were not, or they violated you, or they mistreated you, or they were just lazy, or they were there with things but not there emotionally. If you're gonna experience true freedom, you're gonna have to forgive your father. And I know no pastor has ever said this to you, but you will only be able to be used up to a limit until you let them go. You can only be able to be used up until this point. But God said, I can't trust you to talk to them about that because you ain't even dealt with it. I can't send the people I want you to mentor to you because all of them got daddy issues and so do you. And you won't validate that it's real, and you'll act like you're talking about all of this, saying all of that, but you won't deal with it. And I'm coming to pull the cover back on every lie of the enemy that you can be used to your fullest potential but still have unforgiveness in your heart for your father. Well, Pastor Mike, you don't understand my situation. I do not understand it, but I do know God and his grace can provide a way for you to release that person, no matter how bad they violated you, no matter how they didn't show up for you, no matter what they were doing, you can release them of the debt. And I know it's gonna take a minute for us to walk through this journey, so I just want you to keep breathing. Keep breathing, okay? And just stay with me. Everybody, just take a deep breath in right now and let it out. Everybody say relax. I can feel the tension in the room. You know why I can feel it? Because it's real. I can feel it. Some of your fathers may be in a grave right now, but they're still sitting with you in this room. Oh, I already know it. There's certain people that you can't stand to be around because the tone of their voice and the way they're direct and the way that they're passive or the way that they correct reminds you of somebody you don't even talk to anymore. Why is this so deep in us? Why is it so intrinsic to our being? No matter how much money you make, are you still trying to prove that you're enough to your daddy? Too many people are walking through life trying to prove to God that they're enough because they never were able to prove to their daddy that they were enough. Yeah. Let me help you. All your performance, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. You learned that at 4. You learned that through sports. You learned that through grades. And God is saying that I need to heal you so you can truly experience me. I'm going to say this again. If you do not allow God to heal you, you will not be able to truly experience all that he has for you. You gotta let your father go. Well, Pastor Mike, is that all you wanted to say to us today? You called us onto this live stream to be able to tell us to forgive our fathers. I know I need to forgive them. Don't know how, and I won't. Well, maybe I can help you with an understanding, okay? Because in our society, we get these three words mixed up, and we use them interchangeably, but they don't mean the same thing. We mix up the word male, man, and father. Those are all three different things. And I'm gonna put on my scientific jacket today. It's gonna be black today. And I'm gonna let you understand something. Watch this. I'm gonna teach you the makeup of a man, or a makeup of a male is what I'm gonna call it. And I hope you can understand this, okay? Being a male is God's choice, okay? Nobody chose to be a male. God chose for you to be a male. Okay? And I want you to understand this. Look at Genesis chapter 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. What did he create him? Male and female. He created them. God chose that. So this had nothing to do with you, but male is God's choice. And I need you to understand this. Put up my anatomy. I want to go to school for real. Okay, being a male, I need you to put this on, is simply physical. If you have the right parts, you're a male. You didn't have to study for it. You didn't have to choose nothing. If you have the right parts, you are a male, okay? I need everybody to hear me say that. But the key to knowing this is every male is not a man. I need to help you. Male is simply physical. But when you move to being a man, man is your choice. Male is God's choice. Man is your choice. I'm talking to every person so you can understand that God does not choose for you to be a man. You get to choose. The greatest thing that God gave you in the garden was choice. Everybody say choice. And you get to choose. You didn't choose being a male. That was God's choice. But you get to choose if you're going to step up and be a man. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:13 and what the Bible says about men. It says men should be watchful. Men should stand firm in faith. Ladies, this is why you have to have a man that stands firm in faith before you. If you have to lead him to everything, then he may not be the man. He may be a male that looks good. He may be a male that treats you right, but he's not a man that can lead you. Let me stop. Okay? It says, be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men. I'm talking to you right now. It says, be strong. See, that's the one thing that we're taught as young boys is be strong. Don't cry. Don't show no weakness. You better not let them beat you. And when I look at the Bible, the strongest thing a man can do is be faithful, forgive, be meek, love, be power under control. It literally says in 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says, men, let all that you do be done in love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the characteristic that culture paints of men? Wow. Culture paints don't care. Sleep with everybody you want. Hurt whoever is coming. Make babies, just provide money for them so they can be Gucci'd out and they stuff can be taken care of. You the man. No, baby. You're only the man when you do everything you do in love. And some of you are saying, what is love, Pastor Mike? 1 Corinthians 13:4, look what men do when they love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love for men is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. That means men forgive. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. Love never fails. If that's what a man's supposed to be, how backwards has culture planted these images in our mind? I dare say that there are few men in the world and majority males. Males, that was God's choice. Man is your choice. And let me say this, being a male is simply physical. Put my chart up back up there because I need somebody to see. Some of y'all are visual learners. But being a man is simply mental. It's a choice. Like, you became a male because you got the parts, but you're gonna become a man because you made the choice. The reason why this is so foreign is because you thought because you had the parts, you was a man. No, baby, you can be a 68-year-old boy. They don't wanna hear this. See, when you get male, I'm trying to help you understand. We're going to get to fathers, but I need you to understand this. When you get male, you make a choice to be a man, or boy is your default. You're born a male. You have to choose to be a man. If you never choose to be a man, a kingdom man, a godly man, your default will be boy. And what do boys do? They don't take responsibility. What do boys do? They blame others. What do boys do? Fight over petty things. What do boys do? Tell everybody how tough they are when they're really insecure. What do boys, okay, y'all don't, okay, let's go to the word. Pastor Mike's not making this up. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, when I was a boy, I talked like a child. I thought, I reasoned. That's why I couldn't make a decision to become a man. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a what? A man. Uh-oh. When I made a decision, there got to be a decision. When I became a man, oh, there's the decision. I put the ways of childhood behind me. So if I'm born a male, which is simply physical, the goal is that I actually need to be a man, which is a decision that I have to make. But if I never make that decision or feel safe enough to make that decision or had someone to lead me in making that decision or ever saw an example, my default is boy. Many of us were raised by grown boys. I'm sorry to be the one. It doesn't matter how much gray hair they have and how many accounts that they have. If they never made the decision to become a man of God, the default all of us fall to is boy. And now most of us were raised by men who didn't want to take responsibility. Men who felt like being there was just too much, getting emotional, having the talks, leading them. I don't want that type of pressure on me. What if I mess up and all that other stuff? They didn't want it. And so what happened is they produced children, but they still had the mentality, the heart posture, and the thinking of a boy. And the reason I needed to break this down so clearly is because a male was God's choice. Man is your choice. A boy is your default, but then there's a greater level that comes to you that you can walk in, and that role is father. And father, this is the thing you got to get, is your image duplicated. So what happens when a male, because of the physical anatomy that they have, never decides to become a man and stays a boy, but now decides to have children and become a father? They duplicate their image. And why do we have so many problems in society today? It's because we have people duplicating images of people who are not finished being matured. I'm preaching right now. You may not get up and jump and shout, but it's affecting your life. Can I prove it to you? Genesis 1:26. Go back to our Father God, the originator, the creator. Look at the words he says. If fathers are supposed to make images on the earth, look what God says. It says, then God said, let us make what? Man in our image. I want this thing to be just like me. I want to give fathers, because I'm Father God, the capability to be able to transfer the character, the likeness, the ideas, the thoughts, the love, the joy, the integrity. I want a copy of me in them. I'm the originator, and I want to make an image. And it says, I want to make that image according to my likeness. And I started to think about this because it really hit me, because so many of us don't understand what it is to be an image of our earthly father. And so I wanted to make it really practical. Can y'all put up the picture of my son real quick? This is my baby boy right here, MJ. Now, if you look very closely in these pictures, that little boy, you ever heard somebody say that person stole your face, or that person like is your spitting image? That little boy is a light-skinned version of myself. Way better hair, great smile, but that little boy, I can't deny him because he's my image. Okay. Now, people say that, but the least thing that I'm gonna give to MJ is my physical appearance. The image of my integrity is more copied on his life than my facial features. I'm about to preach this right now. We look at the exterior, but the reason I became a father was to put my image into my son, not just physically, but everything that is about me is supposed to be copied into him. So that means my physical appearance is the least of the attributes that are impacting his life. But my character image affects him more. My love image, how I treat his mama and his sisters, affect him more. My stewardship image, how I spend finances, honor God, spend money on stuff that I'm not supposed to, that is the image that affects him more. My integrity image, my spiritual image will affect him eternally. I'm trying to let somebody know that through the counseling that I've given to people, and the counseling that I've gone through myself, y'all know I'm always hot with you. Me and Pastor Natalie have been in counseling for 3 whole weeks of the last 4 weeks. Like the last 4 weeks, 3 of them, me and her was in counseling every single day for 3 hours. Okay? Through that journey, what I found out, write this down. The greatest attack of the enemy on humanity, this is a strong statement, is fathers unaware. Unaware fathers are the enemy's trump card. It is the card that he can throw at any moment to try to disrupt somebody's destiny. And it has been the same attack all the way back to Adam and Eve. Do you not remember that Adam and Eve's son, Cain and Abel, one of them died because they were not able to get adequate affirmation from the father. They were trying to one-up each other. I can't even go back that far. Because fathers are unaware of their impact on everybody they come in contact with. That's the title of my message today. I want to call this series or this message F You, Fathers Unaware. Because I don't think that if males knew the lasting impact that they would have on generation after generation after generation after generation, they wouldn't willingly do the stuff that they do. If they were actually mature and not still boys in situation and trying to cope from the things they didn't get from their father and from their upbringing, I'm coming to side with you. All my fathers who've made decisions and walked out on kids and made families in other cities and done all of these other stuff, I'm not mad at you. I'm just coming to say I understand. I understand that you're now dealing with the cosmic failure of a lot of different decisions, and now they're coming and sitting on your lap, but you were just a father unaware. You didn't know. You were never shown. You didn't have the playbook. You didn't have a relationship with God that could really teach you every step of the way. And so now we're dealing with a world and a society that is broken, not because people are broken, it's because fathers are out of place. And the situations that people are dealing with today are because fathers are unaware. By the presence and the Spirit of God today, I'm just praying that a father would become aware. If one father, if one future father would potentially become aware how important it is to actually get yourself together, to actually forgive people, to actually be able to be vulnerable and open and transparent, you could change the generations that come behind you for decades if you would become aware. But the sad truth is there are too many fathers unaware. Fathers unaware of how their affirmation builds security in their children. Fathers unaware that their presence, them actually being there, is more valuable than their presence, their gifts. That fathers that are unaware that their active faith, people seeing you trust God, seeing you pray out loud, seeing you lift your hands in church, seeing you lift your hands in your car, is God building a foundation in another generation and affecting people's future forever. Fathers being unaware that their broken promises create broken people. I can't believe you are aware that that was going to cause all of this. I can't believe that you are aware that you walking out because the mom and the dad couldn't get along would cause your child to be in an identity crisis for 3 decades. You might have made a different decision. You might have put the bottle down. You might have not shot up. You might have left that other woman's bed. If you were aware that that same thing would pass down for 4 generations of the sons that you would have, you had to be a father unaware. You were unaware that the perceived perfection that you give to your family is creating perverted perceptions of what reality is. Men don't cry. Toughen up. Be the man. You're here to die. Hold on. That perceived perfection. Because your son doesn't know that to relieve yourself, you go to that website every Thursday. And so now they think, I got to be like dad, but dad wasn't even being himself. And so that perceived perception now creates perverted, twisted, that's all perverted means, twisted thoughts of how I handle life and how I do things. And this is the thing that I found is that, let me just show you. Me and Natalie, while we're in counseling, we're sitting there and this woman is just reading our lives to filth. And I'm sitting there and she was like, I need you to understand how important it is to have a father in your life. So I want you to bring out these blocks of a successful life, okay? And this is something that we've learned. They said to have a successful life that every child needs to be seen. So some of y'all are out right there because in your family, nobody sees you. And they said, then you need to be seen, you need to be soothed, you need to be safe. And then there's one more that happens in this thing, that you need to be secure. Now, these are the foundations. Yeah, they're right there, that's good. These are the foundations of every successful child, that you need to be seen and soothed, safe and secure. Most psychologists believe, I've told y'all we're in college right now, most psychologists believe that in a family dynamic that the nurturer, the mother, provides being seen and soothed, and that the father provides safe and security. Now, we already know this is jacked up because a lot of our mothers, because there was no father there, could not see you and soothe you. They felt like they had to be the man. So you a man, you don't do that. Hey. I need you. I know you're 8, but you need to help me provide. No, we work in this house. We grind in this house. No. We don't got time to cry, baby. If we had time to cry, mama would be crying too. But you see any tears coming down my face? We don't have time for that right now. We got to survive. And so most of us are missing being seen and soothed. And then if your father wasn't there, or if he was there but had his own issues, there was a safety issue. You didn't have safety and you weren't secure. And so many people think safety and security are the same thing. Safety, safety means that I'm gonna be all right. Security means that I can fall apart. If I'm safe, I'm like, okay, I'm safe. Like, I'm okay enough to keep moving. I can keep moving. But when you're secure, when you know ain't nobody going nowhere, when you know that people are in it for you, not what you do, but who you are, that gives you the license to be able to have a weak moment and know you're going to be picked up, to admit when you're wrong. So many people can't admit, you know those people who are always right? Can't admit when they're wrong, when it's blaringly in their face that they're wrong. It's probably because when they were a child, they weren't secure. Because if I'm wrong, then who am I? I don't even got time. Come on. What ends up happening is that when you have this foundation, what ends up happening is then the psychologists say you're able to assert yourself. So when you have all of these building blocks, you're able to be assertive. You're able to say, no, I don't want vanilla ice cream. I want strawberry ice cream. Do you know how many kids that when you ask them, hey, do you want ice cream? And you say, what flavor? They're like, whatever you want to give me. Why? It's because many times we are taught by our family dynamically, intentionally or unintentionally, never to tell us what you really want. Don't be assertive. Don't do too much. Don't say too much. Don't actually say, I don't want to go. I don't actually. Why? Because you're not seen in your family. You're just one of the numbers. You're not soothed if it's not something that's, hey, ain't nobody got time for all that crying. I'll give you something to cry about. Hold on. I just wanted to express my emotions, but oh, you're teaching me don't express my emotion because I'm not seen and I'm not soothed. So I'll go through my whole life being immature, and when I really do need to assert myself and say I really don't want to have sex before marriage, don't say it. Because the illusion of being seen, soothed, safe, and secure could be taken away if I assert myself. See, when I assert myself and I have this foundation, then assertiveness turns into competence. And I'm able to make decisions based on what I know and my experience and what I've read and what I believe. And that has to have a foundation of security, safety, soothing, and being seen. And what ends up happening after that, when I assert myself and I'm competent, then I can be able to explore purpose. And do you know the number one thing that people ask me as a pastor? What's my purpose? Why am I here? What did God intend for me? It's not even something that's hard to find out if you have a foundation. But when that foundation is robbed from you, then something falls apart. Let me show you. This is how relationships get built. When it's built on these things, then what ends up happening is then you find out yourself. It's me. Who am I? Like when you get this foundation, it's like, oh yeah, it's me, and then it's you, whoever your relationship goals is. And this is how you're supposed to meet somebody, knowing who you are and experiencing who they are. But because many people don't have this foundation, because fathers are unaware, because mothers are trying to overcompensate, because all of these things that are happening, we never meet eye to eye. You know when the Bible talks about being equally yoked? The way you're equally yoked is that your foundation has been built and repaired to a place that you can actually see each other eye to eye. But the problem is somebody's down here when somebody's up here and you're trying to make it work. And without the right foundation, without the right building blocks, without you being in an equally yoked relationship, you never get to experience the glory of unity. And unity is supposed to be what people see when it's we. What do people see when it's we? What do people get when we both show up? And so I talk about relationship goals all the time and I talk about those things, but really what happens is who we are boils down to many times our fathers being unaware. Let me prove it to you. Because if you take safety out of the picture, you were in a family and you never felt safe. But you were able to make it. But then you didn't feel secure. Everything that's left is you trying to build a life off of being soothed, seen, and assertive. And this is where you get the independent women from. I'm a boss. I do everything for myself. I don't need nobody else because I never had anybody to secure me and I had nobody to actually keep me safe. So I'm going to be assertive. I'm going to be a boss bee because I'll soothe myself and I'm seen and I'm all of that and I'm everything I got to tell me. And look what fell to the ground. And now when you try to find him and he tries to speak to you, you can't even allow him to be in your life He feels so, is it emasculated, demasculated? He don't feel like a man because you're your provider. Look what fell to the ground. Competence, the big one, purpose. Look what fell. Because the man was out of place, because the man was unaware. Being safe, it all fell. We fail, us fail, security fail, just because the man was unaware. Pastor Mike, why are you telling us all this? Because no matter where you are right now, I need you to write this point down. What's not transformed is transferred. Yeah, I'm walking slow through this today because I need you to get everything. If you don't transform this picture of the family, what happens is we try to build it out of place. I try to let my competence and my thinking be the thing to be on the foundation of my life. And then I try to put you on the foundation. And that's why I'm in an abusive relationship for so many years, because I've built me off of you. And so I don't know who I am. And I don't want to be seen. I don't have to be seen. I just want to perform my way into something. So I'm going to make up a purpose and I'm going to let that be my foundation. And oh, I got it. If I make myself seen in purpose, then purpose will get me seen more than actually who I am. So I'm gonna do my life based on performance so that people can see me. And then if they see me, they don't see me. I need somebody to be with me because I don't feel. That's why I'll Netflix and chill with people. I need it to be we and us, and that'll make me feel secure. And then really don't know who I am, but if I build who I am based off of we and us where with no commitment, then I can be assertive, and then finally in my life, I will feel safe. I'm not saying this looks like your life, but you can take the blocks and build you. Take these blocks and build you. I don't know what your story is, but when a man or a father is unaware, he leaves their child to erect their life without the proper building blocks. So now I gotta make it up. And I'm 58 and I'm finally safe from what I didn't get when I was young. And don't let one of those boxes, don't let coronavirus hit. See, because when you build your life on an unsure foundation, it just takes one thing. Then 2020 happens. Oh God, nobody saw the pandemic coming. And guess what happens? Now I don't feel seen anymore. I don't feel seen anymore. So I stopped coming to church. They just doing it online. Nobody knows me. Nobody notices me. Because you lost money? We didn't like you for your money anyway. You were stingy. You didn't give us none. No way. And so because I'm not seen, I gotta find a place to get soothed. Will that website soothe me? Will those pills soothe me? Will that relationship nobody knows about soothe me? Will more success soothe me? Will having kids with a bunch of women soothe me? Will making kids for a bunch of men soothe me? And so we walk in here. There it is. And with the short disruption in our life, because we never had fathers who were aware of the security and the pattern that they gave us, now I'm going to use my intelligence, I'm going to use somebody else, and hopefully I'll be secure. We could do this all day. But this is a result of fathers being unaware. And I believe by the power of God, somebody's faith is being raised right now. And you're saying, I'm not gonna allow this cycle to be repeated, because what is not transformed is transferred. You are an image of your father. I know y'all hate to hear that, but the insecurities you have, you may have not labeled it and named it yet, but you are an image, because that's what fathers do. Fathers make images. That's why God said, let us make man in our image. And every person that's going to be a father on this world, I'm going to involuntarily let the miracle of transfer happen in their kids. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just letting it sit, Selah. Write this point down. Forgiveness is a father issue. All forgiveness is a father issue. It's either vertical or horizontal. All of it. Let me show it to you. Either you're going to learn this principle through this series or you're going to live it out in your life. So I'm trying to give you intentional, practical handles to the word of God. All forgiveness is a father issue, okay? This is you, okay? If you have a bad relationship with your earthly father, it affects the way that you see your heavenly father. What people don't understand is that if there's no grace with you and your earthly father, it's hard for you to receive the grace of your heavenly father. When there's no mercy attached to you and your earthly father, it is hard to experience the mercy of God with your heavenly father. That's why if you've never experienced protection or being safe or being provided for from your earthly father, it is so hard to believe that God, your heavenly father, would provide for you. That's why some of y'all are like, no, that's not true. I know God is my father. I know he's the one that I know he provides for me. Da, 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 da. But every time you step out on faith, you have a backup plan for your backup plan. No, that's just called preparing. But what it is, if you go down to the root of it, you don't feel safe and secure. I'm gonna step out on you, God, but just in case you fail me like they did. Just in case, that's why some of y'all can't step out and do the business, because you were never safe and secure to have anybody be around that if you messed up, they would be there to pick you up, to help you, to give you a loan, to do anything. So it's me by myself. It's only me. I got to do this for myself. And God says, hey, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your path. I got you, God. I hear you, Heavenly Father, but I don't trust you. So I'm going to still make my own plan. It's because all forgiveness is a father issue. Either it's vertical or it's horizontal. And until we fix these relationships, and I know some of you, I feel you right now, your father's dead and gone right now. But this message is so alive in your life right now because it still affects you. And I want to give you permission to be okay knowing that you may never be able to speak to them again, but God can speak to you through this situation. That you may never, but you might not even know who your daddy is. I feel this thing right now. You may not know who your daddy is, but God's giving you this message today so that you can release them and release. I know it's uncomfortable. I know that you're trying to figure out. I know emotions are welling up and you got that hard thing in your throat right now. I know that there's been offense and there's been lines that have been crossed that never should be crossed. I know there's things that you've come to inner vows and inner resolves, and you've made this whole life, and you're saying, Pastor Mike, you're ruining my idea and the thing that I've believed for so many years. But I'm telling you, you don't want a fake freedom. You want to be truly free. God says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He don't have to act free. He is free. And some of us in the church have been acting free, but God says, I want you to be free. And that means that we gonna have to deal with our father issue, because the thing that you don't understand is it may be you in your earthly father, but then you switch positions. Now it's you and your children. And you know the very thing you hated about your mom and daddy? Many times your kids feel that about you. I know nobody wants to hear it. But the very thing is like, I hate when my mama judges me and she ain't even heard me out. And then you have kids and you tell them, I don't care about that. Because I said so. Yes, I'm the parent. I know. But I just was trying to express how I feel. No. you became what you hated because you never dealt with what hurt. You became what you hated because you never dealt with what was hurt. One more time. You became that part of your parental raising that you hated because you never ever allowed anybody to know and God to heal what is still hurting on the inside of you. And then what it does, it goes from you and your children, and that's why they only come to your house for Thanksgiving and Christmas and they don't fool with you no other time of the year. Y'all think these are accidents? These ain't accidents, these are protection mechanisms. Then your children, to escape you, start having children and try to build a life that, that's why the presents get built, the presents get bigger, but the presence gets less. Oh, my car got, my kid got a Mercedes truck and he too. Okay, but are you there for them? Can they fall apart with you? Can you speak life into them when they come home from school in this world where somebody else who has a broken family told their kids they would, your kids, they wouldn't be nothing? Do you have enough equity and time and margin to be able to say, no, you are called, you are chosen. There is nobody in the world like you. God knows the number of hairs on your head. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are God's masterpiece, and there is nobody in the world that is called to do what you are called to do because God hand chose you. Like, do you have the inner emotionally to do that? Usually we can't because we're trying to overcompensate for what we didn't get. And then it passes on from your children to their children. Y'all know we sing the song, and your favor is upon you for 1,000 generations. What if they change it? And your failures are upon them for 1,000 generations, and your fear is upon them for 1,000 generations, and your faking is upon them for 1,000 generations. Y'all don't believe me? Deuteronomy 5, 9 and 10. It says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities, the inward heart postures of fathers upon generations, of upon the children to the third and fourth generation. The good just doesn't pass on. It's not just the good. It's not a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So we're just trying to leave our kids a bank account for their colleges. Do you know what would be more beneficial than $80,000 when you die? Would be integrity, character, being consistent. Those are the things that will last for generations. And the thing that I found is, write this point down, everybody needs an active father. God did not create you to not need. I didn't say want. You were created on the inside of you from a father who wanted to produce his image in the earth. So on the inside of every human that is born, there is a need for an active, present, walk in the cool of the day with you, Father. I'm with you. I hear you. When you're not there, where are you? That's what God was in the garden for Adam and Eve. And what we try to do is act like we need a father for a segment of our life, and then we get grown and we good. And what happens is many of the decisions that you are suffering from right now as an adult who is still in an adolescence stage of emotions and maturity is that you still need a father. You still need active father. And some of y'all are saying, well, my daddy's dead. What your earthly father was supposed to do was give you the blueprint and show you an image so that it would be so easy for when you came to age to connect to your heavenly father. He was supposed to be the first example, that's the word, of what connection, community, devotion, care, provision looked like on the earth, so that when you accepted what Jesus did for you through the cross, you would say, oh, I already know what a father looks like, so I can talk to my heavenly father. I can depend on my heavenly father. I can run to my heavenly father when I'm mad, when I'm hurt. My girls right now, no matter what happens to them, they run to their father. They break something. Daddy! They get hurt. Daddy! They need money. Daddy! They are being trained at this young of an age that whatever they need, you go to your father. What happens when you are raised and whatever you needed was either ignored by your father or you had no father to go to? It plays out in your spiritual relationship with God. When you lose your job, you don't say, Daddy. When you get hurt, you don't say, Daddy. When you feel taken advantage of, I'm feeling some people right now. When you feel taken advantage of, you don't have anybody to tell that it was your daddy who did it. Oh, I gotta be real, because there are people who held the title as fathers in your life, but they were so unaware of what they were about to do that they touched you illegitimately. They talked about you around their friends and talking about your butt and talking about your athletes and your sports or how you're not as good as so-and-so's son and all of these other things that begin to leave deep caverns in your heart. And it wasn't just daddy wasn't there. Daddy caused the pain. And God's saying, it's unfair. It's unfair. When I drew up the blueprint for humanity, it wasn't supposed to be like this. We talked about it last week, and I dare you to go back and watch that message. But sometimes you have to forgive unfair. And a lot of your father situations, your father being unaware or just providing or just being the man of the house or being there, all these other stuff, or being there emotionally and was just lazy. There's all kinds of dynamics that go with this. Was acting one way in front of his church friends and all this other stuff, but being a totally different way behind. All of that stuff, it's unfair because that wasn't the picture God drew up. But it was the image that you got presented. But I thank God for his grace. Because in Psalm 68:5, this is a scripture for everybody who's struggling right now, even thinking about your father. This is a scripture that you can hang on to with all of your faith. Psalm 68:5 says, God is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of the widows. This is God. This is God. Whose dwelling is holy. Now, this messed me up when I read this scripture because it told me something. It literally says God is a father to the fatherless. So I started thinking, nobody can be born except the male be in the picture. Like, you cannot be born without a woman and a male, a female and a male. But God knew that every male would not make the choice to become a man, and every man wouldn't emotionally provide to be a father. So God says, I know there'll be some things, and I want to step in and be the father to everybody, not just that doesn't have a male in their life, that did not have an active father in their life. He said, I'll be that for you. And that's good news for somebody right now, because you're sitting here trying to figure out, so what am I gonna do? Am I stuck with this? God says, you ain't been stuck with nothing, because before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I made a plan that I would step in as your father. That you need a provider, I'll be a provider. You need somebody to speak life over you, I left a whole love letter for you to be able to listen. You need affirmation, I'll speak it into your life. And he says, I'll be a father to the fatherless. But the problem that people need to understand is you can call someone father and still be fatherless. You can call someone, that's my father, but they're not active in your life. So the things that you need are still missing. When I think about that, it comes to this thing that when we say the word father, our minds associate it with what we know. If you haven't experienced it, you are left to associate with what you
haven't seen. I haven't seen a father. I haven't seen these. Okay, I'm going to try something right now. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody in the whole building, close your eyes right now, okay? And I want you to imagine, go with me, this is an exercise. I want you to imagine a pink polka-dotted elephant. Come on, see it right now. A pink polka-dotted elephant. Where's the elephant? How big is the elephant? Are you in the picture? Just see it right now. A pink polka-dotted elephant. Now open your eyes. Did y'all see a pink polka-dotted elephant? Did everybody see it? Okay. Some of y'all's pink polka-dotted elephant look like this. Some of y'all's look like this, okay? Some other people's pink polka-dotted elephant look like this. How many's pink polka-dotted elephant looked a little more like that? Ain't barely no hands going on. Y'all got some vivid imaginations, okay? Some of y'all's pink polka-dotted elephants look like this. Look at it, okay? But because you had never seen what I was talking about, you were only able to associate it with what you knew at the time. When I said pink polka-dotted elephant, this was what was in my mind. But because what was in my mind you had never seen before, you had to now use all your Blue's Clues to associate and try to create an image that you were never shown. When God says he will be your father and you had a father unaware, what ends up happening is now you try to pull from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and you try to pull from the kids show that you watch and you try to pull from your Uncle Bubba and you try to pull from that high school coach and you try to pull from your big cousin who always showed up for your games and encouraged you and you try to make an image of a father that you have never ever seen before. What ends up happening is this picture is not, let me again say it to you, the picture of a father may not have been what God intended for you. And that's why it's so jacked up. I'm coming to represent God today because I almost feel like a lawyer for God right now because some of y'all, he's been misrepresented to you. The picture of father has been so broken that when we sing songs like, he's a good, good father, it's who you are. Can I be very transparent? My wife told me one time, she was like, I hate that song. And I was like, not that song. Not good, good father. And you perfect it all. She said, it reminds me of everything I didn't have. And I know she's not the only one that when she sings, you're a good, good father. And it became even more magnified when we found out that our son had autism. And her father left at a very early age. And now she's been trusting God and going along and becoming a pastor with me. And I really think that's more of his calling, but you called us together. So we're going to walk this thing out and da, 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 da. And then you let my son experience this. And you want me to sit up here and sing good, good father? My natural father left. Now I'm in a situation that feels like my heavenly father left. And as much as I was like, just have faith. She was like, no, I had a father. Just stand. She's like, but it happened to me. My experience became real and it translated. What was not transformed, transferred. And now I'm sitting here and we're sitting here having to believe our heavenly father. But one of us has an experience of a father always being there. And the other one has an experience of the father leaving at an early age. I'm just going to be very transparent with y'all. When your image of your earthly father is perverted, the enemy tries to hit first at your image of your heavenly father because you cannot not associate the two because we're talking about fathers. Mm-hmm. And today I came to just try to give you a little hope to let you know that our heavenly father is so much bigger than who our earthly father was. They probably were just unaware. They didn't know what they were going to call you. They didn't know that you would be sitting in therapy at 38. They didn't know that all the Jordans and the gifts were going to make you actually have an insecure complex when you had to come into real life and start working a job and provide for yourself. And no longer could you buy those things for yourself. You felt like you weren't worth it because you couldn't afford that. And God's saying, I'm so much bigger than that. See, write this down. God is being misrepresented because of association assassination. If we call them Father, it messes up how I call him Father. But Father is how God defines himself all through the Bible. Let me give you a few scriptures. Psalm 68:5, I'll read the whole thing again. It says, Father to the fatherless. That means he's a provider. He's a defender. That means he's a protector of widows. This is God. This is God whose dwelling is holy. That means pure. Psalms 103:13. The Lord is like a father to his children. He's tender and he's compassionate to those who fear him. And fear him means to honor him. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. That means he's generous, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That means he's consistent. Just from these three scriptures, look what we got as a description of fathers. Father is a provider, a protector, pure, tender, compassionate, honorable, generous, and consistent. And the unfiltered truth that I need to tell you, because so many of us have experienced fathers unaware, is to fully experience your heavenly Father, you are going to have to forgive your earthly father. I'm not telling you how to do that. Go back and listen to some of the other messages. I just needed, my assignment was to highlight how important that being a father aware is. You are creating generational legacy, whether you know it or not. And God wanted me to tell somebody that the fullness that you are supposed to, you are intended to experience in your life is going to come when you release that male who never really became a father. He never accepted to be the man and became a father. When you release him of the debt that he caused you and you forgive. I had to take it very personal with this whole story because I have an amazing father. Tommy Todd is the best representation of a father. He is more like God. Like, people know this. He is grace-filled. He's kind. He's generous. He takes time. He's not perfect, but he is literally an active father. But when you search back in his timeline, my father did not ever meet his biological father until he was 18 years old. And he talked to him one time on a payphone in Mobile, Alabama. And I asked my dad, I said, what did he say? He said, Michael, I don't even remember the conversation. He said, my mother was married to another man and there was some infidelity that happened and me and my twin sister were born out of this encounter. But the man that I call my father, the man who raised me, didn't throw me away. He raised me as if I was his. They didn't even tell me until I was 18. And he said, and I felt some type of way, but he said to me so clearly, he said, Michael, but I choose to forgive him. I was like, that seemed real. Like, Dad, I'm just going to let you know right now. If you ain't my dad, I'm going to be pissed. Let me be very clear that if it come up that Mama B was laying hands on another brother and we all look just like our daddy. So it's but I'm just saying, like, think about what it would do to you if your entire life you're being raised thinking that you're an image of somebody who you're not an image of. And he said, Michael, I forgave my dad. I said, why? He says, because I knew that if I didn't change the trajectory of my life by forgiving him, it would affect me with my children. Tommy R. Todd, who is actually named, his bio dad's name is Tommy. He went on to have 5 sons who he was able, because he forgave, he let go of the offense and what he was not provided and who didn't show up. He let go of that man. God was able to bring another man, another situation, another thing in and provide security and safety for him so that he could become the man of God that he is today. Not a perfect one, but one who is progressing to be able to then pass on to 5 sons who 3 of them have children right now. The characteristics that it needs. Some of y'all be like, how is it so easy for you to trust God in faith, Pastor Mike? It's because I had a good father. I had a father and a mother who saw me, who made sure I was safe, who made sure I was secure, who made sure. So when I failed, I felt like I could do that. And some of you are like, well, great for you, Pastor Mike. F you. Like we didn't have that. We don't have that. And what I'm telling you is the good news is God knew that man was going to mess up. So he declared to you, he said, as if you'll let me, if you'll let him go and move them to the side, I can step in and be the father to the fatherless. If you would stop being pissed on Father's Day and worship me more on Father's Day, I didn't have a physical or an earthly one, or they're here, but they're not as active as I want them to be, and they don't even see their own problems because they're still in male form or boy form. Father, on Father's Day, I'm gonna give you a praise like I've never given you before. You have protected me and seen me through and catered to me and been able to know everything about me. And God saying, just because your father was unaware doesn't mean I'm a father who's unaware. I don't have a magic pill to take away all the issues that happened to you. What I do have is a promise from our father, Abba. That's what they called him in the original language. It would be like the first time that a baby says dada for the first time. Do you know how innocent and how trusting and how amazing it is for the first time for you to look at a child that had nothing to do with their existence, but they look up to the one who has provided for them, given them milk, given them shelter, and they say dada. That's the purest version. God says, I want to be Abba. When you're hurting, Abba. When you're broken, Abba. When you're in need, Abba. I want to be the father to the fatherless. So Pastor Mike, what do you want us to do? I just want you to sit in this moment and know that forgiveness is available. It's available for your unaware father. You can let him go. You may never have a conversation with him. He may have been a deadbeat, or he may have been there but not just been able to give you what you want. But you can forgive. Listen to me. You can forgive your father. And at some point, as you mature in this Christian walk, it may not be through this series. It may be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 3 weeks from now. But somewhere along the way, it's going to hit you. What's going to hit me, Pastor Mike? It's going to hit you like it hit me in so many different areas in my life. It may not be your fault, but it is now your responsibility. That's not fair. Neither is life. But God's saying, it may not have been your fault that you had a deadbeat dad, or may not have been your fault that he got locked up and on charges that he didn't even really do nothing. It may not have been your fault, he said, but now how it's affecting you is now your responsibility. And I need you to forgive your unaware father. And I need to talk to fathers who have been unaware. Listen to me. If you're an unaware father and you have not done the things that you know you needed to do for your children, they're still living, they're still growing, they're still around. I want to let you know it is so imperative that you start today. Don't think about all the guilt and the shame. Oh, you just trying to be in my life now and da, 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 da. They'll say all of that, but I need you to mature into manhood and realize they're speaking from hurt because of what you did. You were not there. You were not available. You did choose something else as a priority, but it's never too late to start trying. Let me say what your kids can't say to you because they're so broken. They need you. Your children need you. They're 14, they're 24, they're 44, and they still don't feel safe and secure. Because they don't have the voice of their earthly father. What happens when you could be somebody right now, and I know you didn't sign up for all of this, and I sure didn't want to be this heavy on my birthday, but I promise you, this is more important than me turning up, is that you transforming. It's more important to me that you would become who God's created you to be, and you stop the generational cycles that can be passed on to another generation. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what you've been called to, and if you were born a male, you can choose to be a man and you can take the responsibility to be a father. And I'm standing flat-footed and I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you like maybe your father wasn't there to challenge you. Stand up with God's help, with the grace that he's provided. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who stand in Christ Jesus. Today, you can be forgiven vertically so that you can give forgiveness horizontally. Abba. Abba is who we need right now. We need Daddy God. We don't just need King. We don't just need Lord. We don't just need all of the amazing attributes. We need Abba. The Father who really loves us, who sees us, secures us, who makes us safe, who gives us purpose and identity. And right now, I just want us to take a moment and Selah, like the Bible says. Because I know emotions are everywhere. Some of you have been mad this whole message. And that's okay. You can feel that. Some of you have felt lonely this entire message. Some of you are the fathers that have been unaware and now you're feeling convicted. Some of you have been a victim of fathers unaware, and all this is doing is bringing up old and bad memories for you. It's okay. It's okay. You're safe right now, because if you would just let him, Abba, our Father God, the one who is consistent, who is a provider, the one who wants to bring us into his family, the one who's tender and compassionate, the one who's honorable and generous, he wants to come into your life. I'm going to share one more scripture with you, Galatians 4:7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He knew what we would experience, to redeem those under the law. Watch this. That we, everybody say we. That we might receive adoption to sonship. That we could go from being outside of the family to being adopted, so we have a father, an Abba, inside of the family. Because you are his son. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And some of you, your spirit's calling out, I didn't have an earthly father. I need Abba, Father. My daddy was there, but he was there with presence, but he wasn't there with his presence. And right now God's saying, I'll give you my presence. Abba, Father, so that you no longer are a slave, but you're God's child. When you are fatherless, you feel like a slave. You feel like a slave to people's opinions. You feel like a slave to work. You feel like a slave to performance. That's some of y'all been working all your life just to get a father's. You're okay. You're good. You've done enough. You're gonna make it. I'm here with you. I love you for who you are, not what you do. God's saying, he said, you're no longer a slave having to work for approval. You are a son. You are God's child. And watch this. And since you are his child, God has also made you. He upgraded your status. He's also made you an heir. Stop acting like that. Stop. No, 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 no. Your royalty. Your self-esteem is based on who I say you are. You're able. You're more than a conqueror. Every place you step, I'll give you that territory. Do you know who you are? You're my child. I don't care what last name you have. You've been blood bought. I feel this thing right now. I paid the ultimate sacrifice to give you my name. And today, when you need help, call Abba. When you don't know who you are, call Abba. When you're broken, call Abba. When you're trying to raise your kids and you didn't have an example, call Abba. And I'll be there. I'll be Daddy God. I'll be consistent. You're seen. You're safe. You're secure. I'll soothe you. I'll give you purpose. I'll tell you who you are. I've made you in my image. And if I could get some fathers to be aware, it'd be easier because they would see a practical version of what I've tried to do with you in a heavenly fashion. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. As the Father has been to us in heaven, God, I'm praying that you would make males aware so they can be it on earth. And I pray for every person, every young boy and young girl who may be older but is suffering right now from fathers unaware. God, I don't have a solution in a service, but your Holy Spirit is working right now. And I'm asking you, Father, to do what no word can do, what me laying my hands on people can't do. Father, you're the only one that can cause heart transformation. I thank you, Father, that you're preparing people's hearts to forgive their fathers. And I even hear this right now. Some of you need to forgive God. Yup. Some of you have been so broken by your earthly relationship, and then you got disappointed by God, and now you feel isolated and alone. And I just want to tell you, I hear it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God said, I can handle how you feel. Yeah, yeah. Tell him. Tell him how mad you are at him. Cuss if you have to. Say it however you feel it. He's big enough, and he's strong enough, and he's secure enough to take his children throwing a tantrum. When my kids throw a tantrum, I know what they're doing. They're either hurting, needing something, or didn't get something, and that's the way that they are trying to provide for themselves. And God says, throw the tantrum, and I'll be there right after you finish to lift you up. I feel the presence of God right now, to wrap my love around you, to speak into you what you don't even know you need. Abba. At the end of this service, I'm going to play this song, and I want you to spend, I don't want you moving around, I don't want, silence everything, tell everybody to calm down, because right now I believe ministry is about to happen. In this arena, in your home, on that track, if you're watching this back on rebroadcast, ministry is about to happen right now. I want you to hear this song, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this message? See, the Holy Spirit is active in everybody's life. For one person, it may be one thing. And for another person, it may be another thing. But right now, come on, just lift your hands all over this place right now, all over the world, and say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this message? You just ask them. Now I need you to listen for Abba to speak to you.
Never forget. Abba Father, takes care of me, Abba Father, protects me, Abba Father, directs me, Abba Father, provides for me, he'll never ever leave me, Abba Father.
Come on, somebody needs to believe that. Come on, lift your hands and receive that.
Keeps me,
he's keeping you. He's caring for you. Right now, God is reversing. He's transforming everything that has been done to steal from you. Abba Father, he's coming in with the strong arm, with the compassionate heart. He's rebuilding. I feel that. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being Abba, who's taking care of us, who's providing for us, who's protecting us, God. Come on, receive his love. Receive his love. You're never going to leave me, God. God, we trust you in the name of Jesus that you're repairing the breach. You're repairing the breach. We are loved, God. You're never going to leave. You see us. You secure us. You know us, God. And all over the world in this moment, I dare us to lift it up just one more time. Say, Abba. Come on, lift it up. Abba. Somebody say,
I have a father,
and he really loves me. Come on, somebody say, Abba.
Abba. He'll never leave me, never forsake me.
Hands lifted all over the world. I feel the presence of God right now. People are in surgery at this moment right now. I know some of you have had a hard exterior this whole service. There's a crack coming in the heart and posture right now. And God's saying, let me in. Let me be Abba. Let me be Father. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm standing with you. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to you. God is doing something right now. If you have had a father that was unaware, or you are a father that has been unaware up until this point, today God's saying there's forgiveness for you. I'll forgive you if they don't. I believe this is going to transform people's lives. If you would accept it, I want to pray for you. Right now, if that's you, you fit into either one of those categories, that there's an area that you've been unaware of your fatherhood, or you've been affected by an unaware father in somewhere, I want you to stand. Even in your home, in the arena, if you're watching this on rebroadcast, I want you to stand. And I know it takes humility to talk about this because your pops might be there. There may be some stuff. There may be some things going on. But I want you to stand, and then I want you to lift your hands, because the thing about a child is they surrender. When a real father walks in, they give up trying to be the provider. They give up trying to be the one who's in control, because someone who really knows is in control. And I want to pray for you. This is huge. The fact that you would even acknowledge it. Remember, we cannot fix what you will not validate. Nothing that you act like is not there can never be fixed. And God's saying right now, you've acknowledged that you have been affected by a father unaware, or you've been one. Right now, just stand up. I know some of you right now, it's everything in your pride. But what would a loving father do right now? God's saying today is a day of transformation, and we want to see that change. Father, I pray first off for every father who is literally standing right now, and the enemy is trying to convince them of guilt and condemnation. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. And I declare and I believe, Father God, that right now your grace is rushing over them like a flood. Your mercy is new every morning, Father God. And I thank you that you would give them the audacity to choose differently. God, in your word, you say, I set before you life and death, and you give us the answer, choose life. Today, you're giving them the choice to become not just a male, but a man, to put away the childish things and take the responsibility of father. God, we can't do it on our own, but your word says that you will give us both the desire and the power to do what pleases you. So I thank you that these men of God who have been unaware, now they have a revelation, and they're aware of what they have been called to do in humanity, which is set a foundation for people to be the pre-show for people to meet you. And I thank you that no matter what this baby mama situation or how far or the geographical location, I thank you that there would be a burden for men to get back in the place in the home, to be the men of God you called them to be, and be the fathers that'll change this nation and change the world. and I thank you that they will walk in joy. I declare that every man that is receiving this and accepting the grace of God is going to sleep better than they've ever slept before tonight, Father. There's going to be an evident difference in their countenance, Father God. And for every future, Father, I thank you, God, that there's a burden on the inside of them right now. I feel this thing. That you, come on, future fathers, lift your hands right now. I declare and I believe that there will be a burden that they will stand up and take their responsibility of an image bearer to be serious, Father, and they will get to know you and deal with their issues and all of the pain, Father, so that they can be an image that reflects you and point their children to you. God, I thank you for the ability for you to sustain them as you heal them in the name of Jesus. And now I pray for every person who's been affected by unaware fathers. God, there is deep wounds. God, there's deep wounds. I feel them as I stand here today. People are insecure. People are mad. People are hurting. People can't see you. People have vowed never to love. People have cursed you. But God, you're big enough to take all of our tantrums. I thank you that your grace will pour over all of us right now. God, I pray for the one who's been fighting this the whole time because they really feel that if they let this emotion out, Father, somehow they won't be able to get it back together. God, I thank you that you would send your Holy Spirit to be the comforter right now. The one that comes alongside of them to help. This is the breakthrough you've been praying for. And God says everything's going to change. Freedom comes with forgiveness. God, I thank you that you're going to give them the audacity to let their unaware fathers go. Not become best friends with them, not necessarily go back in an abusive situation or try to mend everything, but God, I'm asking you that they release them because they didn't know. And God, they were unaware of how many decades it would affect us. God, and I thank you that you will step in like you always do and be Abba, the father to the fatherless. In Jesus' name. In that same attitude right there, if you're here and you've never accepted Abba Father as your personal Lord and Savior, I feel God doing work all week, y'all. I literally feel the presence of God right now. He about to be working and working and working and working. You need to send this to every person you know. Even if they think they ain't got no daddy issues, you don't know. They've been faking with you the whole time you know them. Like you need, this needs to be something. And even if it's not for them, it's so they can know for future generations, their spouses, who they marry, all this other stuff. God's doing surgery on people's hearts right now. We are going to learn to truly forgive. And I believe right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He is the only way that we can actively get to Abba. The Bible says there's no other way that you can come to Abba except through Jesus. And so remember, I told you that your vertical relationships and your horizontal relationship, God says, all right, I'm gonna send Jesus so you can have a representation who knows exactly who you are. And all I need you to do is believe in Him horizontally. And then you have connection with me vertically. And today, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity right now. It's a thing that takes a man like me, who was a liar, addicted to pornography, a manipulator, somebody who had a lot of bad in their heart, and now it's not perfect, but it's progressing. It's something that takes somebody like me and changes and transforms my life. And God is offering that to you right now. He wants to be Abba Father to you, but it has to happen through Jesus. So right now, according to Romans 10:9, all you have to do is believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and He died for you. That's it. And all of your sin, all your mistakes, all your missteps, He throws them as far as the east is from the west. I know religion tells you that you need to clean up and change and do this. And God says, if you let me in, I will help you change your habits if you let me into your heart. And today, He wants that for you. On the count of three, if you want to be added into that prayer, all I need you to do is lift your hands. Just a sign saying, Pastor, add me into that prayer. This is the prayer that transformed everything for me. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm so proud of you, but forget that God is more proud of you. Three, come on, shoot your hand up all over the world right now. Come on. There are hundreds of people, I feel it right now, that are shooting their hand up. And listen, right now, You don't have to confess everything that you've done. All you have to do right now is believe and pray this prayer with me. And Transformation Nation, you know this is why we exist, to see transformation in Christ. So everybody knows we pray this prayer all together for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ today. Come on, would you just lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for being good. Thank you for sending Jesus. Today, I put my trust in him. I believe he lived and he died just for me. So take over, change me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name, amen. Can I tell you that through your confession and your faith, you have just now gotten a clean slate and you now have an active relationship with Abba Father. Can we give God, oh, come on, all over the world, heaven is throwing a party. Y'all think we had a party today for my birthday? Heaven is turning up. Confetti is going everywhere. If just one person God saved. Today, don't fight what God reveals to you through this sermon. I need everybody to hear me. He's going to keep revealing. But remember the thing. You have Abba. Abba. Say it.
I have a father. He truly loves me. Abba, Abba, he'll never leave me, never forsake me.
Say Abba, it's singing over somebody right now.
Abba,
if your dad wasn't there,
I have a father,
if he's gone,
who really loves me, Abba,
yeah.
Abba.
I feel the presence of God, we gotta get out of here.
Never leave me, never forsake me.
I'm gonna say it one more time. Don't fight what God tries to reveal throughout this whole week. You just had heart surgery. Don't try to get up and go run a marathon. Allow God to do this work. You may have to go find that song on Spotify. I think it's Eddie James or something like that. Go find it. Just play it. Just play. Let that thing wash over you. And let God just take layer and layer and layer. I bet you, if you would allow God to minister to you this week, you're going to come back here 7 days from now freer. You're going to come back with an assurance that you have your identity wrapped up in a father who will never leave you or forsake you. Some of you are going to mend your relationship with your father. What you've been holding on to has been petty, and God's going to give you the audacity to actually forgive and let them go. Listen to me. And some of you who your father's still alive, do it now. Tomorrow's not promised. There are so many things that are happening right now in our world. So many people who just lost fathers and all kinds of stuff. Close people to me have lost their fathers in the last year. Listen to me. I don't want you talking to a piece of stone if you don't have to. Look at them. Send them a voicemail. Write a note. You may not be able to be in a room with them. Send it. Make a video. Do something. But I'm believing. And you're not saying, like, what you did was okay. Forgiveness is not acceptance of what they did being okay. I need to say that for somebody. It's not okay what they did. You're just releasing them. I'm no longer going to carry you around and carry the effects of it. I'm not going to carry the effects of it and carry you. No. Because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. Cast all your care. I just feel like continuing to breathe. Come get me. I love y'all. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for trusting the God in me to speak to the deepest areas of your soul. On my 34th birthday, as I stand here and preach, I know I'm in my spot. And I hope we can see transformation happen for you for many more years to come. As your pastor, thank you for all the love, all the posts, all the celebration, the gifts. I love y'all so much. Let's do this. Let's do it for a long time. Go out this week and live a transformed life. I love y'all. What's going on, family? I wanted to come and personally tell you about something that is a tradition here at Transformation Church. At the end of every year, we bring our faith, our crazy faith, to an offering. We call it our end of the year offering. And what we do is we set aside a moment to ask God, hey, is there anything you want us to give?
give to this mission, this vision, this idea of representing God across the whole world. And literally for the past 6 years, we've been doing it, and it has been the catalyst for everything else that we've done as a church. We've been able to help end sex trafficking. We've been able to buy this building and pay for it in 5 months because of the generosity. The cameras that you are watching us on right now were because of somebody's crazy faith to give in at an end of the year offering. I think back, and literally when the church first started, it was the faith of a few people, less than 300, who gave $80,000 that produced the cameras that are seeing so many, over 19,000 salvations have come this year. But it started with the faith of somebody. And I wanna ask you to partner with us. Join in, not giving an amount, asking God, is there something you want me to give? And I promise you, when you ask him, he'll speak to you. This is not about amounts. This is about growing in our faith. And I know that in a year where many of us would be tempted to hoard or keep or protect what we have. At Transformation Church, we move in generosity. We give just to give, not to get. We step out in faith. We believe in God, and we believe in miracles. And I believe that God right now is placing something on you and your family's heart, like he's doing for me and Natalie and our family. And we're all on December 6th gonna give in our crazy faith offering. I'm telling you, what I've seen God do in this season of the year has been something that will never, ever, nobody can ever convince me that God is not moving in this moment. And so I want you to join us. This is the step of faith that maybe you've been praying for. This is the step of faith that's going to prove that all the growth as we've gotten stronger this year actually has action in your life. And I'm so grateful, and I'm going to be praying with you that whatever God says for you to give, you would obey. See, what we know is that obedience is better than any sacrifice we could give. And we're going to move this thing together. So December 6th, Crazy Faith Offering, you can give. And I'm so excited to see what God does in this church as we represent him to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. God bless you.